testing our brothers and myself, we sure have shied away from hospitals for most of our lives, and then all of a sudden we're all going there all of a sudden, and that makes a difference. Four of them at one time last fall, you know, just late summer into the fall, and your prayers made a lot of difference, I know. And you just have to know that the Lord was using you guys to bring comfort to us hundreds of miles away that couldn't be here for every moment that we would like to have been. My wife is here this morning. We are so glad that she is with us this time, and we are grateful for her. We've had a great time visiting with our family, who's by my dad kept the Busey name alive. Now there's a bunch of Buseys around, and we are so grateful to just see you guys. It's just wonderful to see God's grace upon our lives. I feel like God has been sharing a few things with me. I'd like to just, let him use that to bless you guys today, if that be all right. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
We're going to read, I think, to start with in Isaiah chapter 61. So if you'd like to turn there, that would be great. How many of you know that you're God's favorite?
Yes.
My kids used to argue over who was their mom's favorite particularly. And they would, "I'm her favorite." And finally, the middle daughter, Jennifer, she convinced the others that she probably was her favorite. By just saying it so often, you know, it begins to work on you.
Yes,
so now, how many of you here, you realize you are God's favorite? Raise your hand. How do you know that? Do you know you're God's favorite when it's not so well with your soul? Perhaps when you've fallen and you can't get up? There is a most liked song. Every Thursday for 32 years, I find myself just about every Thursday at Fairmont Crossing, which is a rehab center. It started out as Ryan's nursing home and then another name or two before it became this nice fancy place that it is today. And there's a song that I close out our morning time of praise with, and it's something that I learned in Sunday school, and everybody sings it. And surprisingly, it's the number one sung song in Christianity. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I mean, they may have just sat through a bunch of songs that we've sang that they know, and they may have hit a verse here or there. But these old folks, when that song comes on, they out sing me. They just singing, you know, and it's just beautiful to watch, isn't it? Let's try it. You ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Everybody, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you in advance for your word today. It is the sweetest meal ever. Truly, we don't live by bread, but we live by every word that comes from your mouth, Lord. You are life to us. And this morning, the oxygen of praise is been an effervescent inside of us, and we are living souls this morning as a result of your life. And we thank you for the living in us. Thank you for sending Holy Spirit to be in us, to guide and teach us and lead us. And great, Lord Jesus, is the revelation of our Father that you came to bring to us. Help me to share some of the little central truths around that particular thing. And we give you the praise and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Would you get my glasses out of my pocket there for me? Isaiah chapter 61. Thank you. I didn't used to have these. Pretty familiar scripture with everybody. Jesus quoted it in Luke chapter 4. And when Jesus quoted it, he said, "This day, this is fulfilled in your hearing." But there's a little portion of this prophecy that I'd like to just let it come before you a little bit and let it be absorbed inside of you. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." If you'd like, why don't we read this together? You ready? "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against his enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair." Thank you, Father, for your word. Look at verse number 2. There's a line there that is just, it leapt off the pages into my mind several weeks ago, and I have just been stuck in this for about 4 or 5 weeks. "He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time," now the King James also says the year, "the time of the Lord's favor." Everybody say that. The time of the Lord's favor. Now Jesus said this is already fulfilled in your hearing, so let us look at it right now. Today is one of God's days of favor upon you, right?
Yes, sir.
Will tomorrow be that way?
Yes, sir.
So we've actually been living in 2,000 plus years of favor.
Yes, sir.
Because it's been fulfilled.
Yes.
And then in Acts 2, the beginning of the revelation, if you will, the Holy Spirit bringing the teaching, all right, from the throne room of God being Father that Jesus emphasized over and over for 3.5 years. That was a part of, I guess, probably the most important part of the ministry that he came to bring to the earth, outside of destroying the works of the devil, to heal the sick and cast out devils and preach the gospel, was the revelation that God was Father. Because Israel as a whole reverenced and feared God, but they knew him by a lot of other names because of God's manifestations. Even God's name Jehovah was so holy to them, they dare not speak it out in public. It's really something. When they wrote his name in scripture, the scribes, when they would translate and write his name, they would actually have to destroy the instrument that they wrote it with because his name was so holy. And here comes a young Jewish itinerant preacher by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and he tells them, okay, when you pray, let's just pray like this. Our Father. Boy, that became a real stumbling block to those Pharisees and Sadducees, because God was holy. Can you name some of the names of God that was revealed to the early saints that were Jews? What are some of the names of God? Jehovah Jireh, God provides. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. What else? Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Sikanu, yes, my provider, my peace, Jehovah Shalom. There they are. They're all around us here. But notice something. More than half of those names that were manifested to Abraham because he believed. He believed God. And God was this in this place, like with the ram. He was Jehovah Jireh. And he was Jehovah Shammah. He was the God that was there. All those were revelations to Abraham because he just believed. It was just a wonderful thing for Abraham to be walking along and God show up, right? And that happened quite often. And every time God would reveal something to him about a characteristic, and it became a name of who God was manifesting himself to be to him. Now, how has he manifested himself to you? How do you know God? Now, we've heard that God is Savior today. He reached down where it seemed to be impossible and brought somebody right into his heart. And he seated them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Ah, that's beautiful. I love that testimony. Yeah, we know he's healer today. I heard somebody about a back being healed. Amen. What else? What else has he revealed himself to you?
Faithful.
He's faithful.
Yes.
Somebody else?
Redeemer.
The Redeemer. Somebody else?
Amen.
He is your peace. Very good. He's broken down the middle wall of partition. He is my peace. Amen. What else? The source of life.
Yeah.
He's the tree of life, isn't
yeah.
he? What's his name?
Jesus.
Very good. Now, if I could tell you that all of those names and manifestations are wrapped up in one thing, would that mean something to you?
Yeah.
In other words, if I could take all the paper money in the world and I could put it on a card, would you like to have the card?
Sure.
Yeah. So that wherever you went, all you had to do was just give him the card, right? That's what Jesus said about Father. In that day you will not pray to me, but you'll pray to the Father in my name, and whatever you ask.
Yes.
Now we're talking about favor.
Yes.
We're talking about favor. Whatever you ask,
yes.
he will do it that your joy may be full.
Come on with it.
You hear what I'm saying?
Come on with it.
So there is this MasterCard, if you will, that never, ever gets used up. His name is Father.
Yes,
turn to Romans chapter 8. Selma and I, we moved to Lynchburg, Virginia area about 33 years ago. Shortly thereafter, Zelma became friends with a woman at Aglow whose husband was one of the presidents of a lumber manufacturing company that was very large there in the Lynchburg area. And shortly after, they began to come to our little church that had begun with those old brown chairs that were metal, fold up and down, and they just sort of break your back. They let you go numb from your waist down after about an hour. You know, you invite somebody to preach and they preach for an hour and a half. Everybody was like, pray for me because I am dying. But it just was really just a very uncomfortable place. But they came and they just enjoyed it. And one day he said, I want to have you to lunch. And it was an exclusive club at the 20th floor of one of the big bank buildings downtown. So we met him up there and in came a senator, Shule, and one of the congressmen was, and he said, "Come over here. I want to introduce you to somebody." I'm like out of my league completely here in this whole deal, you know. And we walk over, and he introduces. This is Pastor. And then he says, "My pastor." And I'm like, "Wow!" And these guys are shaking hands, and favor was established right there. I didn't ask for it. But God was already preparing a place for us there without our even knowing about it. Now, how does all that work? Well, a few years later, I was invited to go with the team to Costa Rica for 6 weeks in doing some mission work. And I had put in for my passport and the visa to be able to get there, and everything was held up. And time's dragging on, and the day's getting closer. Finally, I'm in the week I'm supposed to leave, and I don't have a passport, and I don't have the visa to leave. So I call our congressman that I'd met just briefly in his office. His secretary took my name and stuff, and I don't know if he remembered it or what, but any which way, immediately called back. If you drive up, you'll have your passport waiting on you. I said, "Really?" "Yes, these are the addresses of the buildings that you go to." So we pulled up. The line is out the door, James. And I'm thinking, we're going to stand here in the line. And the gentleman that took us up there, he said, "No." He said, "Let's go up there in front." He said, "They told you to go right on in." And I said, "Okay." So he walked up, and the guard at the door says, "In your name?" And he gave his name. He said, "Let me see." And he pulls up. He's looking. "Yeah, you're on the list." He said, "Come right on in." He goes in, introduces me to the receptionist. Everybody's standing there watching me go by them, and they're like, "Who's he anyway?" Favor was resting upon me. I went into the main office. He pulled out. I said, "Raise your hands and make sure that it's you." Had them take a little, you know, yes, tell the truth. And then they handed me my passport, the documents to get in the country. And he said, "You're done." Drove 3 hours for 5 or 10 minutes. The favor of the Lord was resting upon me. I have watched God's favor upon our family and our household in so many ways. It would just, this time today, don't have enough time in it. But God's favor is resting upon his people. And we just don't always acknowledge Father God for what he's doing behind the scenes for our life. When we have reached a place of where we can go no further, God is still continuing to work. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 just a moment, and verse 14 and 16. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." I'm going to read it one more time. You ready? "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Close your eyes just a minute and say that. Abba, Father. Now, somebody has said that's like saying Daddy God. Because the relationship here of being a son is more of a younger son in the Greek that is being used here. So my children, as they were going along, they would call me Dad. They didn't go around and say, "This is my father." When their friends came over their own age, "Hey, Dad, I want you to meet my friends. It was always Dad. Why? Because I was to them not father, so far untouchable almost, but I was somebody they could crawl up in his lap. I was somebody they'd come over and give me a punch. I was somebody that they could pull tricks on. I was somebody they could play with, right? I was somebody that could spend time with them. I wasn't away somewhere else. I was with them. That's the idea that Paul wanted the Romans to finally catch. God is your Abba, your Dad. Now, if you were to go to Israel today or to practically anywhere in the Middle East and there's families around, you would hear this word quite often because it's an Aramaic word, Abba. We have, in our family, we have a situation right now that we're believing God to see some things happen in where my grandchildren call their dad Baba, which is another derivative of that same word. And you hear it through the house, and it just warms my heart. I think, God, that's you. That's you at work already, putting inside of them a knowledge of authority, a knowledge of care, a knowledge of security, a knowledge of excellence in life because they know their dad in an intimate way. You know, the church has tried to place God in a way quite often to where we can't get to know him. I was reading some very astute guys and as far as that are teachers in the Word of God, and they were saying you can't use this word too loosely because then you'd lose respect for God. And I said, "Well, God, I don't want to teach our people to be using this word irreverently. Is this true?" And it was like the Lord said, "Come over here and give me a nugget." You know, I mean, it's just, I just got warm all over, you know. I just felt like God just came over and just hug me, you know. God loves us that way. He doesn't want us to be so learned that we escape the fact that he wants to hold you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to play with you. He wants to watch TV with you, Ron. He wants to go to ball games with you. He wants to bowl with you. Things that I could never do in the church of God, you know. But that's just the way it was. Because God was too holy to be with us. Was he? No. He is holy, but he isn't too holy. He's all holy, but he's not too holy to take a sinner and pull him right up to his breast and just say, "I love you so much."
Hallelujah.
That's good, isn't it? Turn to Galatians chapter 4. One more time. Let's say it together. Abba, Father.
Abba, Father.
Yes.
Thank you for loving me.
Oh, thank you for loving me. Yes.
Galatians 4, 6 and 7. I had the privilege of going with an older missionary to Cuba. We had to go through the back door in those days. It was in the late 90s, and there's always danger of being found out, and not so much we would be persecuted, but the people that was hosting us there for the times to speak would have perhaps been tossed in jail. One man was detained for a day and a night, a little bit, one of their bishops in the Methodist Church. And while I was there, at the amazing thing is the church has all the names like we have here. Church of God, Prophecy, the Brethren, Church of Christ, and Methodist, you know, those kinds of things. But you couldn't tell what you were in whenever you went. They were all the same. They were all Spirit-filled. They were all centered on Christ. It was a miraculous thing. And the Lord told me then, he says, you know, I'm letting you get a glimpse of the church of Smyrna. These people were underneath heavy persecution. Heavy persecution. For us to be invited to their church, it was a risk for them to be thrown in prison and be separated from their families, you know. So it was a great thing to see. But one of those days, I was at the Church of God of Prophecy's home where I was staying most of the time. And Pastor Moses had told me, he said, I have a Baptist pastor whose wife wants to talk to you. So she brought the interpreter with her. And what the deal was, she had been invited to the States for one of the Baptist conferences. And she needed to have an American to come to Havana to the ministry of whatever it was to get out that they have there, like our State Department, and to vouch for her that she had the letter from her organization to come to America and to have $200 American to be able to give for all of her paperwork. Now, what's the likelihood in Cuba that does not allow Americans to be there, to have an American there, while she gets this letter of acceptance to come? You following me? And then when she says, all I need is just you to come and give the $200. So I'm thinking, $200, you know, I've got that. That's not a big problem, but it was going to put a dent in some giving I was going to do. And I said, okay, I'm thinking, all right. But what happened was her husband then meets us, and he comes over and he hands me all of this money. You just take the money. I didn't even have to give the money. So I go into this Ministry of Interior or whatever it is there, like our Secretary of State, and they don't have computers. They don't have anything on the internet or anything in the late 90s here. And it's like, man, I've stepped back into the dark ages. They got these huge ledgers. Boom. And then they pull to a blank page and start writing all the information. They took my passport information, took down all the things about me, and then took all of her information. And in about 20 minutes, she's got her hand raised. She's going through a little oath and paying the $200. I have to dig the money out and show that I'm paying it. And it was interesting. We walked out of there. She's got her passport, her visa, in the middle of Fidel Castro's control. God got this little Baptist woman to the United States to share her testimony. Wow. And I thought, that's so cool.
Wow, yeah.
That's the favor of God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Galatians chapter 4. I know him as Father. How about you?
Yes, sir.
And because you are sons, read it with me. And because you are sons, verse number 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out,
Abba, Father.
One more time.
Abba, Father.
Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now, the word son here is a more mature son. Now we're looking at a son whom the father can walk along and say, son, I'd like for you to go and get me a glass of water. When you're in real relationship and grown in the Lord, there are times that the Lord trusts you to carry out some things for Him. That's an amazing thing. Now, when we're kids, our prayers, we pray, boom, it's like miracles are happening everywhere. Those first few years, you know, when you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like there's just electricity just everywhere. Then after a while, you get a little older, there's some things that begin to change. It's not that faith has changed. It's not that God has changed. But you have grown. And there is a place of walking out some maturity inside of our lives that the Apostle Paul realized here in Galatia, because they were leaving that which had been planted in them and going back into the law. They were losing the whole scope and vision of the revelation that God is your Father and you can't earn it and nobody can take it away from you.
Amen.
Because now you're family.
Yes.
You're family. Once abusive, always abusive. That's the way it is. Good and bad, right? But the good thing about God, there's no bad. No darkness at all. No shadow of turning, right? So once you're in God's family, you're always in God's family. You are God's. He doesn't lose to the devil.
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, Lord. I love that. Thank you, Jesus. Now, an interesting thing. Abraham, Ab, the first part of his name means father. He was just a father of, and then he became father of nations, right? And as we look at that, this word Abba here today, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 5. There's a discussion that Jesus gets into over this. This revelation is so great, for it encompasses this, the promises that are revealed in the New Testament in the very nature of God being our Father. John 5. Look down about verse 16. Let's read it together. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because
not only broke the Sabbath,
but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." So the nature of God the Father was in God the Son. They were one, right?
Yes, sir.
So the prophet was picking up on this whole revelation coming to the earth, that he's going to be born and he's going to carry every part of the characteristics of the Godhead bodily to this earth and be here, touchable.
Yes.
Touchable.
Hallelujah.
No wonder John wanted to lean on his breast.
No kidding.
Yes.
No wonder those guys gave everything up for 3.5 years and just followed him. Left the fishing boats, left the tax table, and just followed him. And then when everybody was leaving because he said this little bit about got to eat my body and drink my blood, he looked around and only the 12 left. You going to leave? And what was Peter's response? Where can I go? You're the only one. You have the words of life. Where can we go? Turn to John chapter 14. One of my favorite places in Scripture, John 14. I love it from John 13 through 17. Just that last bit of teaching of Jesus there at the Last Supper is just so powerful, as he just crams in those few moments such tremendous insight. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You see, there is an inheritance that the Father has given to us. And I go to prepare a place for you. Believe me that I am in the Father, and that the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, in my Bible, it has this little byline. It talks about, in parentheses, the answered prayer. Yours may not have that, but it's something interesting you might want to write in your Bible right there, the answered prayer. And Jesus goes on with the discourse that he says in verse 12, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now, I'd like to back up there just a minute, and let's put ourselves in that word that God has spoken through his Son, and God the Father spoke through his Son, and let's put ourselves right there. Most assuredly, Jesus says to me, you believe in me, the works that I've done, you will do also. And greater works than these, Marvin, you will do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever, Marvin, you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in me. Your name is right there. Your name is right there. Jesus saw you. God purposed before the foundation of the world you would be in Christ Jesus. Before you were even born, he knew you. And he declares that you were chosen to do greater works than whatever we dreamed about doing for God thus far. There's more yet to be done and greater. I feel like God has just sent to encourage you in this, that there is things that perhaps you have said, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. You just need to just look back up to Jesus. You need to just look back up. Abba, Father, you said it. Abba, Father, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do the impossible. Yes. Where impossible may have been before, possible is happening now.
Yes.
John chapter 16, just a couple of more verses, and then there is something to close with over you that I sense the Holy Spirit wanted to do earlier. John chapter 16, just a couple of verses, looking at verse 22 and 24. John chapter 16, verses 22 and 24. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. Your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Again, shut your eyes just a minute. Are you ready?
Yes.
Abba, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for speaking to me as your child. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm letting that time for the Holy Spirit to let that sort of matriculate down inside of you, because there is changes coming to the inside of you. Sometimes we get questioning, am I praying right? Jesus merely made it simple, didn't he? You just say, Father. In my name, Father. He wasn't giving a formula. He was giving evidence to relationship. Let me tell you how this works. Look this way just 1 minute. Zelma had a 1978, 77 Charger 76 Charger. Oh, it was immaculate. She really, when we got married, and she didn't want to sell it, you know, and I don't blame her. But we needed the money, and so a young man was offering to pay the price that we were asking, and he met us over here in Dalton. I think it's Citizens Bank downtown. Is that what it's still called? And so he's going to meet us, and we walked in with the title and everything, and he said, my grandfather's coming. He's the one that's going to do the paying. And so this gentleman got out of a truck out at the front, and he had bib overalls on and a flannel shirt, and he come walking in, and the manager was on the floor. He said, okay. He said, well, let me get the paperwork. He's digging around his desk, getting some paperwork up. And he said, now, what is the name? And when he said the name, he said, just a moment. You remember this? And he went and got the guy from upstairs, one of the VPs or something, and he came down. Mr., it's so good to see you. And I'm like, what in the world? And the grandson's like, a little shocked too. He said, whatever this man, whatever they want, you know, just make sure it happens for them. And it just, because you know why? The man had probably $1 million in their bank. When you come to the gate of heaven, and the son who has everything steps off and welcomes you in his arms, angels are stepping aside, Father's beaming, Holy Spirit's dancing. That's why you feel the way you do sometimes when Jesus puts the hug on you. That's why you get sort of light. That's sometimes why you pass out on the floor. That's why you dance. That's why the goosebumps come, because there is this acknowledgement of God's glory and favor resting upon his child that has just come into his presence in a real, real way. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So this can happen all the time.
Yes.
And this is what I heard the Lord say to close with today. To read this over you. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is the Father saying something over you in particular, that he wants to address issues that you didn't feel like that perhaps God was interested in. He's interested in every detail of your life. If he goes to the problem of counting all the hair on your head and then the hair that's not there as well, he knows how to take care of the insignificant things too in our life. Amen? If one sparrow drops to the ground, he knows. And how much more you're worth than that sparrow. So I want you to just shut your eyes. And I'm going to just read this as the living word over you. And whatever you're facing right now, whatever you've been trying to make decisions on, I want you to begin to get an understanding. God is interested in you as your Father on your behalf. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Father has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. For the Father has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, because you are united with his Son, Jesus Christ. Even before he made the world, Father God loved you, and he chose you in his Son, Jesus, to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt you into his own family by bringing us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him, Father God, great pleasure, so that we praise Father God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness upon us, along with all wisdom and understanding decision making is going to be much simpler. Father God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Jesus Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure, and this is the plan, that at the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. There's a lot of upheaval in our world today. Just remain right where you're at in that place of receiving from Father's word over you. There's a lot of disconcerting things, a lot of political upheaval, a lot of things that's going to even become more uncertain to some people. But to God's people, this is the time. God is bringing together a place inside of His people that will not entertain uncertainness, will not entertain insecurity, will not entertain a place of worry. Every political, every economical, every power, every principality, everything on this earth is getting ready to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And He already is exalted in you as His child. Now think of this just a minute. That means anything else out there that is in an upheaval or chaotic in the financial realm or in the marketplace, that is poised already to bow. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now I'm going to say this again. A plan to fulfill His own good pleasure is underway. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with His Son, Jesus Christ, we have received an inheritance from Father God, for He chooses us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to Father God's plan. Father, I share this over them just as You told me to do, and I ask You to allow Your word to manifest itself in ways that is going to be astounding to them, the miraculous, the supernatural. Those things that are in the natural become subservient to those things that are supernatural. And we just thank You for the manifested power of Your love, of Your grace, that we who were so unlovely have been loved and accepted in the Beloved. And You have called us Your children. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, our Heavenly Father calls you His child. You are His.
Wow. Thank you, Father.
He's jealous over you. No bullies are going to be punching around on you in this world's playground. This is His playground.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Paul saw it just that way. They throwed me there at those beasts at Ephesus. Jesus is still Lord. They locked me in a jail. Jesus is still Lord. Turned me upside down, beating my feet. Jesus was still Lord. I'm His kid.
Jesus.
It don't matter. You're His child. My missionary friend Fabian Bronstroff in Jamaica, he says, if they put me in jail, I'll have a prison ministry. If they beat me up and I'm in the hospital, I'll have a hospital ministry. And if they kill me, I'll just go to heaven and see my Father for myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Win-win.
Amen. Let's say it again together. Abba.
Abba.
Father.
Father.
Let's wait on Him just a while. I don't know how you want to close this out, but I just sense that as they're waiting, there will be things that need to be maybe shared, whatever you want to do.
Well, Father, today we embrace once again the supernatural simplicity of the gospel, of that which has been given to us. And the simplicity of it is that you've thrown your arms wide open for us. And you pull us in, and you draw us in, and you woo us and you call us to continually be drawn into a big hug by you. And so as we sit here today and reminded of that simplistic part of the gospel, Father, of your love and of your favor towards us, Father, over and over again we've witnessed it in our own lives, and we have testimonies galore that's been piled up in our own lives. Father, we don't neglect the power of that very statement, that you squeeze us up, that you embrace us, that you are Abba, that the blood has brought us not only close to you, but it's brought us into your very throne room to sit with you, to commune with you, to have fellowship with you. And Father, we don't want to neglect that. We want to take advantage of that. And so during this time, Fathers, we just kind of sit and soak this in today. Father, let that truth just dig deep and just drip across our heart today. Pour upon us once again, Father, with healing. Pour it upon us once again, Father, with wisdom and understanding, Father, of that which has been given to us, the privilege, the greatness of that blessing. And so, Father, today we've learned once again that you welcome us, and that with that we run to you. We don't run from you, we run to you, Jesus. We run to you, and as you've come to us with arms wide open, we run to you with arms open today. And we bless you, Jesus. Just feel him squeeze you, and pull yourself into that squeeze this morning. Meditate upon it. Think deeply. Father, we don't want to rush past or rush through the moments that we're given to be with you. Our heart craves for those moments, Father, and you've given us a moment right now, and so we want to take advantage of that and just drink it in. And I bless you with the squeeze of the Lord this morning, to feel it, to know it, and to walk with it. The table is still open this morning for anyone that wants to partake of communion before you leave this morning. You're free to do that. We're going to gather with the leadership over here to the side over here, and Marvin will gather with us. If you need prayer for anything this morning, we'll be over here with you to pray with you before you leave. If you just need us to be in agreement with you for something, or just whatever it is, we'll be over here to pray with you. And in the meantime, as you walk forward in this week, I bless you with the embrace of Jesus. And every day and in everything that you get involved in, the most important thing you can do, listen to Jesus. It'll save you a lot of trouble. Look for it. Listen for it. It's there. He's talking. Amen. And I bless you with peace, to go forward in peace, love on each other, and have a great week walking with him. Amen.